Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's pain-free Friday. Farrell's doling out minutes on the mahogany, waxing it up 100. 200, the bad seed, the broken day, the bad apple with a bad, I had a suit hanging around a bunch of bad, I had a bad seed, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Farrell Appalachian, right across the urban through the woods from where Granny just went to bed, but not before she busted off a couple of gigantic rippers of the G6 jet fuel sativa. She says it doesn't make her go up. She still goes down in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, to Brittany Travis, some kind of fashion shaking up, she do, but I'm a friend to come around, flip the party up, rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a tatter, my brain's splattered all over Manhattan, she do be shaking. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Farrell with Carver High this evening. The number is toll-free, 844-843-6879 to get on the bench. Later tonight, we have John DeSilva from Parks, the morning odds maker in Philadelphia, getting ready for the Preakness Stakes. And they're off at Pimlico tomorrow night in the evening as the juiced Medina Spirit, who won the Kentucky Derby, has passed the drug test required by all the people that are corrupt in horse racing to have a chance to win the second leg of the Triple Crown after winning the Kentucky Derby and cheating. I love how, Carver, how you have to admit, seriously, how in God's name do all these people in that sport act like it didn't happen? They all just are like, it's impossible. Like, I heard Dwayne Lucas, right? So I was on Fox News today. I don't know if you knew that. Did you know I did Fox News?
I did know that you did it.
Okay, so I did this thing, whatever. They asked me to do it. I did it. My bosses asked me to do it, so I did it. Anyway, I do this interview. They ran it today. I never saw it. I never saw any of it. That's the truth. Believe it or not, I had people that saw it. I don't know. A lot of people saw it. Whatever. I didn't see it. I don't watch, and I don't know anything about that channel. So anyway, I'm not a fan, but I just do whatever they want me to do. I'm cool. So I do it, and then what I see later, somebody says, well, just you know, you'll see it if you look for it. I said, yeah, I don't have time. So the next thing I know, I see Dwayne Lucas doing an interview, right? I saw this interview he did, and he was sitting there and saying he's not guilty. He didn't do anything. It's terrible for our sport. Horse racing's already taken a beating from the media and from everyone. PETA, you name it, right? Everybody's, he didn't do it. He's not guilty. He's not coming to the Preakness because it'll be a huge distraction. We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, near to you wanna, and all of Southern California. Also, Sports Map and Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. It's Pharrell on a pain-free Friday on a bench. So anyway, everybody's, he didn't do it. And, you know, can't blame the horse and everything else. You know, day one, it was somebody took a leak in the hay and the horse ate the hay. And the guy that was taking a leak in the hay obviously was on roids or whatever this chemical was. I can't keep track of all. I don't even care what it was. All I know is the horse failed the tests, right? And then they talked about how much of it the horse had in its system. And the first thing they said was the horse ate the hay, and that's what got him. And then the next day, he said, you know what? Come to think of it, I actually rubbed cream on its ass. And that's clearly how it got in its bloodstream. So there you go. It was the cream. And I had no idea the cream had the drug in it. No idea. Well, you know, every guy that ever failed a drug test in the world of sports has said, I had no idea when I took that supplement, what was in it. I had no idea that that was in it, that that particular drug was in it, or that steroid was in it. I had no idea when I was taking these supplements. You know, my people, what do you mean, you people? My people went down to the GNC and picked up this supplement for me. And the next thing you know, I'm lifting cars over my head. I have no idea what happened, but I've never taken anything. All I do is I get up in the morning, I have a protein shake, and I go about my business, lifting 500 pounds deadlift and 1,000 pounds of benching. And I'm ripped out of my mind, but I have no idea how I got this big or this temper that I got. I have no idea why I keep beating everyone I know. Senseless. I'm just swinging at everyone. So, I mean, has there ever been anybody that didn't, when they get busted for drug use in sports, deny it? Like, I mean, they just, honestly, Carver Hyde, does anyone just ever admit it? No.
No.
They just always, I have no idea how this got in my system. I have absolutely no idea. It's the universal answer. Woo! It's just automatic. Woo! And, you know, I said on Fox, now, I don't think they used the clip from what I was told, but I don't. Believe it or not, I had a couple people tell me they watched it and they said they didn't see that or whatever. Like, they took bits and pieces of it, right? That I did. I did, like, I don't know, 10 minutes. And then somebody told me that it was like 2 minutes. So obviously they took what they wanted and that was it. But, somebody said one of the clips was of me saying, like, no one's really that surprised that there's a controversy in horse racing. Which is like pathetic, right? Like, that's like the worst thing you could have grabbed. I had stuff in there like, you know, the one guy said PETA did it. And then, like, they snuck into the barn and did it. And then I said that they were the mob, that they were like the mafia, right? You don't mess with them, the PETA people. They'll destroy your life. And then, I said that he had, what, 30 horses at least that have been drugged, allegedly. And then in this year alone, 5 allegedly. And I just so we're clear, I only say that for legal reasons. I don't believe for 1 minute, frankly, anything that comes out of that guy's mouth. I really don't. I think he's completely pulled the wool over everyone's eyes for years. And I mean, I've been hearing for years he does it, right? And then people just love him so much. They're so enamored with him. Like, they're just so in love with this guy, like caught up in all of his, you know, white hair and sunglasses and his wealth and his pretty family and, you know, their big hats and their beautiful little kids and all this other nonsense. You know, I just, every time I watch it now, the Triple Crown, I just want to puke. I do, because it turns into the Bob Baffert hour. I mean, I'm talking 5 hours. Like, they don't stop with the Bob Baffert stuff. Do they, Carver High? I mean, like, literally, they come on at 2 o'clock. The race is at 7. And for 5 hours, they talk about Bob Baffert. Every time. Every race. Every single one. And no one else. Like, don't mention the other horses and the trainer. Chad Brown doing a great job. He won this race in 2017. Just, he knows how he skips the dirt. It's a great turn. Look at this jockey, Javier Castellanos on top. He won it 3 years ago. It's great. It's Bob Baffert. They go right back to Bob Baffert. I mean, they just, it's just odd. Todd Pletcher's got 3 horses in the Bob Baffert. It's just one. It's like a boomerang. It just always comes back to Bob Baffert. And then he wins everything. And then they get on their knees for him. And, I mean, you tell me, Carver High. So I went on record. I'm just like, this guy, I don't believe him. I think he cheats. I think he drugs horses. I mean, how many horses does he have to drug before you believe it? How many joints does the kid have to smoke before you think he smokes pot?
It's not a lie if you believe it.
It's not a lie if you believe it. No, look, the reason why they show Baffert nonstop during the Triple Crown races is, you know, they need somebody that people know. And that's part of it. When they run those 3 telecasts a year, the only 3 that the average sports fan tunes in for, because you know this, you know, 85% of – and listen, the horse racing crowd, they're a diehard crowd. They love the game. But 85% of the people that tune into those Triple Crown races, they only tune in those 3 days of the year. And that's it. And they don't turn into the last one if there's no Triple Crown horse, okay? They don't watch or show up at the Belmont unless somebody's going for the 3rd one.
Right.
They need people that people know. And people know Baffert because he wins all the time. So that's why he gets all the FaceTime. They're not going to show the horse, you know, the horse. I mean, the horse can't talk. You can't get nothing out of the horse. And not enough other guys win all the time. The jockey, forget. You can't talk to the jockeys.
What was the horse that talked? Ed the horse?
Yes, Mr. Ed.
Mr. Ed was a dynamic animal. That was, yes, a great horse.
Well, he was a dynamic animal.
I mean, that horse was dynamic. I mean, honestly, like, why couldn't they get him out there in the midst of all this to do, like, you know, Edzo's job or something? They got all these extras on NBC talking that nobody cares about. Why not bring Ed out?
No, I hear you. But Bob's the guy. Bob is the guy. They love giving you Bob.
Let me ask you a question. Honestly, no one cares at all about these races. Even people that they don't. And people that watch the one day a year, the Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, the Belmont, even those people don't watch. They're not watching. They literally aren't. Like, I remember going to so I'm in Florida, right, living in Miami, and I used to always go to watch the big races, and I'd take 34C out to a really just hot spot for dinner or whatever. We'd go to a really cool place, and we knew that they'd have the race on, and you know what I mean, like in the bar or whatever. It'd all be evolving quickly. And then, you know, I'd bet all kinds of money on it, and then I'd lose everything. But I always watched. And the one thing I noticed, like, it would be people, and I mean this, like people, I would be there watching. I'd be like, look, here they go. They're off. And then I noticed that I always would like look around the room to see, like get a feel for the room. And like you were doing a show at the Offside Tower, you get a feel for the room. I look around the room. There isn't one person watching. The race is going off and there's like no one watching. They just don't care. And listen, you and I like horse racing. I've told you that. John Da Silva knows that. Felix Taverna knows that. The guy that I have on. I like going to Del Mar, Santa Anita, Hollywood Park, Gulfstream, Arlington. I've been to all of them. I've been to every racetrack in the country 50 times. I've been to small racetracks too. Prescott Downs, you name it. Delta Downs. I've been to all of them. And, you know, I like it, but I'm just being honest. I'm a rare breed. No one that I know watches horse racing. Not one person on the face of the earth watches horse racing. I mean, they really don't. And now those decrepit souls at that racetrack we work at, I mean, they're a real lot, aren't they? I mean, honestly, let's just get down to business.
Well, they're the diehards.
Let's get down to business.
They're all that's left.
They're freaks.
And that's not just, you know, there at the Meadowlands. It's also at every other track across the country. There is a handful of people that still go to the racetrack every single day, and right. and that's it. Like, there's
that's
just
a dying breed.
Oh, it's a, no question. It's a dying breed, but that's all that's left.
When you are at that place and you see that group of people, I'm convinced they started COVID. It did not start in China. It started at the racetrack. I mean, honestly, when I was there, do you remember how skeeved I was? Like, I was like completely skeeved. I was like, I can't take it. I can't be here. I'll never forget. They sent me there one day to take a picture or something. I had to do like photos for Sirius or something. And I went in there. This is like midway through the COVID, like, you know, 5 or 6 months into it. And I had to go over there one day. I might as well have wrapped a towel around my head and duct taped my face and had a mask on, like 10 of them, when I walked into that place. I thought I was going to get every disease known to man. I'm being honest. I don't care. So, I'm not done yet talking about this either. I'm just getting started. Don't even get in my way. I'll step on you tonight. All right, so I'm trying to figure this out. Oh, there. And another goal for the Hoosiers. They're going crazy. They're going crazy. Their fans spraying water, beer, shots, doobies. The Hoosiers have taken the lead on Pitt. I think it's, and I have no idea, but I think it's in the 79th minute, late in this game. What a goal. What a goal. A ripper. An absolute laser. You know, it's the Final Four of soccer, Carver High. What a goal. This guy just absolutely ripped a goal top shelf coming in the box. From the wing, like he was like, if you were in hockey, he would have been in the circle, right? And he was on the right wing, and he came down and just absolutely ripped a laser on Pitt. Number 3 Indiana against number 2 Pittsburgh in the semifinal of the NCAA championships, and Indiana has the lead late. I will tell you that, so when I was there at Indiana, like whatever, 5 years ago, I was there for 5 years, right? And Jerry Yeagley was the coach. And if I remember correctly, I could be wrong, but when I was there, they won 3 national championships when I was there. And you know who was on one of those teams? Pete Stojanovic. You remember him?
Really?
Yeah, the kicker from the Dolphins. You remember him?
Yes.
Dude, he was a great soccer player. He was great. He was a better soccer player than he was a kicker. And he had a great kicking career in the NFL. But man, could that dude play soccer? Oh my God, he was great. They won titles with him there, left and right. So I was doing Indiana soccer and basketball. Believe it or not, that was like the first broadcasting job I ever had in my life, was doing Indiana soccer, play-by-play. And they had a great soccer program at Indiana. They've always had a great soccer program at Indiana, believe it or not. And here tonight, they're playing for in the Final Four of soccer, and they're beating Pitt, the number two team in the country. And then, so the funny thing is, I'd have to look up. I have no idea who the other two teams are, Carver High, that played earlier. Actually, I saw it. I forget who it was. Because I don't care. I only care about Indiana. I just want Indiana to win. And I have no concept of anyone on the team except the guy that just scored the goal, and I don't know him either. But I'm rooting for him. What was great is there's like, I don't know, 1,000 people at the game. There's like nobody there. They're freezing. And it's like they're playing somewhere, whatever, right? And there's like nobody there. Meanwhile, like when they scored, that like, there was like maybe 400 Indiana fans in the crowd or something like that. And they were just going off. I mean, they were throwing water, booze, you name it. They had it all going. I mean, they were celebrating like the Arizona Diamondbacks. They had a big thing going on there with the Selly. So anyway, getting back to the topic at hand, do you believe, like, so when the horse failed the tests in Louisville at Churchill Downs, did you believe any of the stories, Carver High, that, you know, somebody took a leak in the hay or that they rubbed cream on its ass? And did you believe any of it?
I really tend to not believe anything that these guys say. I mean, they're like politicians, these horse trainers. You know, especially guys like Baffert and Dwayne Lucas, who have been at it for a long time. You can't believe anything they say. But
meanwhile, they're like best friends.
Yeah, of course they are. And the story with the guy in the barn with the hay is the most ridiculous thing. This is like, you know what this is like? This is like when something goes wrong on, you know, college campuses with the football program, you know, whether it's Paterno or whether it's this other stuff. And you know how it's, well, the coach had no idea this was going on.
The patina.
Let me just tell you something. The coach knows everything that's going on. And just like in a situation like this, this guy is training horses that have a chance to win them millions of dollars in these huge races. Trust me, the trainer knows everything that's going on in that stall with that horse. It's just like the coaches who say they had no idea, they're lying. The trainer who says they have no idea, they're lying too. This guy knew exactly what was going on with that horse every second he was in Kentucky.
Remember the casino magnet that we knew that I had no idea.
No idea. And no idea what was going on.
I had no idea that they were doing this to you.
Yeah. What do you mean? Oh, yeah. I only walk around with, you know, a thing on my phone where every 4 seconds of the day I find out, you know, every nickel that's putting every machine in this place. But I had no idea that this was going on. Okay.
Right.
Sure. Sure. If you want to say that, go ahead.
We had no idea they were charging you for your food. Meanwhile, it was him that did it.
Right.
He was the one behind all of it.
Of course.
He tried to look me in the face and say to me that he had no idea. And what did I say to him? I said, bro, you're the mob. You know everything. Like, do you think I'm stupid or something? Because, like, if you think I'm stupid and that you're pulling wool over my eyes right now because you're like some slick liar or something, or you got some kind of poker face going on, I just want you to know that your eyes are bouncing left to right now, and you are so full of shack. It's just spewing out of you. You're not fooling me. I know you're a liar. I know that you know. I also know that you're behind it. I know that you're the cheapest dude then I've ever met in my life. Boom. It's that simple. I know you're a liar. That's it. So have a nice day. No one's ever done that to me before except you. So congratulations. You're the first. And I'll tell everyone I know that you did it. So I'm just going to keep telling the story until I'm dead. Of course, that guy has nothing to do with me anymore. But I know it's not because I did anything wrong. So I don't believe any horse trainers at all when they talk about, I had no idea the horse was on drugs, or any baseball player. I had no idea that I took that gallon of roids for breakfast. I don't believe anybody. Boxing is even worse. I had no idea I had a roll of quarters in my glove. I had no clue. I had no clue that my hand wraps were made of cement. I had no idea that they were made of paper mache. I had no idea that what are those things? Bare knuckles? What are the... They put the guy punches you with the knuckles. The fist. What is it called?
Bare knuckle boxing?
No, when the guy wears
Jeez. Come on.
The steel knuckles or whatever.
Brass knuckles.
Brass knuckles. I had no idea I was wearing brass knuckles in my gloves. And I fought for the world championship. I had no idea I had, cocaine in my water to keep me awake. I had no idea. I don't believe anything. And of course the horse, of course, horses, of course, of course, of course, the horses. I had no idea that, of course, the horse passed the drug test today. Do you think they were going to drug test Baffert's horses today at Pimlico? Did you think that Concert Tour and Medina Spirit were going to be able to bypass the drug test today after failing them at Churchill Downs? Did you think they were going to clean out the horse between 2 weeks ago and today? Did you think that, what was it? It's 2 weeks, right? It's 2 weeks from the Kentucky Derby. First Saturday in May, now the third Saturday in May, right? Or something like that.
Two weeks, yes. It was 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Ago.
They cleaned that horse out like Robin Quivers' body flush. Like when she used to do the body flushes. She used to do them. The body cleanse. Remember? What are you doing this weekend, Robin? Doing a body cleanse. I'm like, cool. So you don't think that horse got cleaned out for this race, that this horse was going to be clean this week at Pimlico? Of course the horse passed the drug test this week. It's only natural. People said, well, why would he just cheat in the Kentucky Derby? Which horse race do you want to win the most?
Yeah, exactly.
Kentucky Derby. That's the only one that matters. Let's face facts. No one wants to hear it at all. I'm sure that this will go over like a lead balloon. But the Preakness doesn't even matter. I mean, honestly, does it? You said it earlier. If there isn't a Triple Crown horse, no one will even watch the Belmont. Right?
It's true.
How about last year? Didn't they run the Belmont first and got everybody all dizzy? Remember? Like, wait a minute. When is this race that I've never watched before? We got a lot going on here tonight, including college soccer. All right, so Indiana just beat Pitt in that semifinal. And then, like, a fight broke out after the game with Pitt and Indiana. They're playing Marshall in the championship. Can you even believe it? The Thundering Herd. That is awesome. Indiana going back to the NCAA championship in soccer. I'm happy for those hurrying Hoosiers. Anyway, so later we'll talk to John DeSilva from Parks in Philly about the Preakness and see who he likes. I already know who he likes. I'll give it to you when he comes on. I already know who he likes. He told me. He already gave me his picks so that when I did the interview with Fox, I wouldn't sound stupid. I just went with his picks, and we'll see what happens. But I'm not going to lose any weight over that horse race tomorrow. I can guarantee you that. What do you care more about? Well, you care more about the golf than the horse racing, don't you?
And I got a lot lined up tonight. I mean, we got the golf. I got the first Stanley Cup playoff game at night between the Bruins and the Caps. I mean, I got things happening tomorrow. We got in-game live I'm doing from 4 to 8. And the horse race will fall in my window for in-game live. So I will obviously have an eye on the horse race. But the golf and the baseball and the first playoff hockey game is going to be where I'm at.
So do you think tomorrow in that broadcast, NBC is going to sell you that Bob Baffert doesn't cheat?
Yes.
They're going to try to clean it up and play like it was all a misunderstanding.
They love Bob.
They love him.
Yeah.
Do you think Edzo's going to go on that horse too? Like he's just going to play that game and suck up to Baffert? Because I'll be disappointed. I think they all suck up to him. I think they're afraid of him.
They suck up to him because and here's the other, because like he talks to them. It's just like all the other people that we've talked to. You know, he's on my show. You know, it's just a lot of
you were on with Felix. He's like best friends with him.
But Bob is a very
disrespect.
Personal,
no disrespect. It's simple. Like he's like,
there's nothing wrong with that.
They're Bob's friends.
Bob's a very personable guy. People like Bob. He's very charming. He's not one of these guys who doesn't want to talk to you or thinks that he's above you. He doesn't do any of that. He's like, you know, your everyday horseman.
He's nice.
Yes.
He's got the whole thing down. The smile, the good looks, the charm. He's got it all going, the whole package. He's TV savvy, too.
Correct, which is why they
love
him.
Very savvy on TV. Does that crowd turn you off, that horse racing crowd turn you off, all these rich, uppity owners of these horses?
All the people that own the horses? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Like, did you see that crew of guys from, New York, wherever the hell they were from? I don't even remember what horse they were into last week, 2 weeks ago at the Derby. But they had, there was, seven fraternity brothers that owned the horse.
Yeah.
And they were all drinking and dressed in their nines. And they had their plaid pants on and everything.
I don't mind that kind of a story because you've got a bunch of guys who all got together and bought a horse for trust me, a lot less than probably the horse is worth now. And that's a nice story. I don't mind that.
Remember my boy Jovia?
Yes.
My buddy owns a great horse, a horse at Aqueduct and that races around New York. He's a good horse. He finished second in the Belmont, right?
He did.
That's not bad. So, anyway, we'll do that later. You still haven't talked to me about all right, first of all, we'll start with that Capitals Bruins game tomorrow night.
Yes.
So today on Coast to Coast, I saw that the Bruins were favored in the series over the Capitals. Is that correct? Because the Capitals have Ovi and all these guys banged up? Because, I mean, wasn't the Capitals literally all year until the Penguins clipped them? When they had injuries, weren't they in the lead in the East the entire year? And they were like the best, Eastern team, hands down, best record, everything. And then at the end, in the last month, the Penguins clipped them.
Correct. I think that what this line is based off of is the Capitals over the past 2.5 weeks have gotten very banged up. Whether it's Oshie, Ovi, they all have missed games. And their goaltending is very suspect. I mean, Samsonov's on the COVID list again. Vanacek, you can't really rely on him once we get to the playoffs here. So the Capitals have kind of trended downward a little bit the last 2 weeks, whereas the Bruins, since they got Hall, and we talked about this all year, the Bruins sucked for the first two-thirds of the season. I mean, they were in fourth. They were doing nothing. And then they got Hall, and they got a couple of their role players healthy, and they got Rask and Halak healthy, and they finished the season really strong. So I think that they're looking at the Bruins as an up right now and the Caps as a down. It ain't going to be an easy series for anybody. That is not going to be an easy series.
Do you think that the Bruins, when they got Hall, that suddenly they were better?
Hall gave them a boost. There's no doubt about it. He played really well for them.
Who had a better boost, Hall or Carter for the Penguins? It had to be Carter.
Here's the thing. I think it's Hall only because the Bruins clearly played better. I mean, the Bruins weren't very good. They were average.
What, he scored 2 goals? To Midland. Carter scored 9 goals.
He scored more than 2 goals, Hall, for the Bruins. He only had 2 goals for the Sabres after 50 games. Well, 40 games. When he got to the Bruins, he started scoring some goals. I'm just saying the Penguins and Carter's just a little bit different for me. The Penguins were fighting for first, and they added Carter as a piece, and they did end up winning the division. The Bruins were kind of drifting in the middle, added a piece, and it kind of boosted them up a little bit. So that's the only reason why I think it's just a little bit of a they were two very good moves. They were better than Palmieri. Palmieri did nothing for the Islanders. Now, could that change in the playoffs? Listen, nobody's going to care that Palmieri did nothing the last 17 games. If he goes and scores 2 or 3 goals against the Penguins, nobody's going to care. But as of right now, the trade was a bust.
So if they, let's say they don't win. Let's say the Penguins win the series, hypothetically. Is Palmieri and Zajac on no matter what?
Oh, yeah. They're both unrestricted free agents. They're out of here. And the only reason the Islanders were able to fit him in was because Lee went on long-term IR to fill the cap space. So they wouldn't have been able to keep him anyway.
And you haven't liked them on the team.
They haven't fit. Now, Zajac was a throw-in. He's not even going to play, I don't think. He's just an extra right now. Palmieri was the trade. And I thought that they'd played Palmieri with Barzal, and they haven't, which is kind of weird to me. Like, the whole time, Trotz hasn't played him with him. He's kind of been playing with Pageau and the kid Wahlstrom. So he needs to do something, or else the trade was a zero.
Yeah. So are you taking – so you're on Boston then over the Capitals in the series?
I am. I think Boston's going to win in 6. I like Boston in 6 over the Caps.
Wow. I mean, I thought they were just so average all season.
They were. But maybe we're getting blinded by the fact that they played the Sabres a lot in the last 3 weeks. I mean, maybe that's part. We saw them just completely destroy Buffalo a bunch of times, and we think that they're right. Maybe we're all going to get fooled. But I just feel they're playing a little bit better than Washington right now.
Isn't that what people – who was it? It was Blessing was making fun of the Penguins for beating the Sabres a bunch of times.
Well, look, and here's the thing. Everybody likes to do this stuff. Every team that made the playoffs in the East, all 4 of them, they are separated by nothing. All 4 teams can beat each other in the playoffs. The Penguins, the Islanders, the Bruins, and the Capitals can all beat each other in a 7-game series. You can't say that in the other divisions. In the other divisions, there's a team in the playoffs or 2 that cannot beat the 2 teams at the top. And you know what? All 4 of these teams, they all had their turn this year of whacking the Sabres and whacking the Devils. Like, they all got their turn. The Islanders had it in the early in the year. Late in the year, the Penguins and the Bruins had it. Like, it's just the way the schedule worked out. Everybody played the same teams the same amount of times. They all played the Sabres 8 times. They all got their turn. It just it's more recency bias because the Penguins and the Bruins got to do it in the last 2 weeks, whereas the Islanders did it in February. Like, it is what it is. Everybody got to play them.
So when I talked about the Penguins and Islanders saying that the Islanders always beat the Penguins in the playoffs, and what I said today on Coast to Coast was, I don't believe the Penguins should be favored in the series. Did you think I was crazy with my reasoning about their goaltending and their defense and their coach? I didn't even mention their coach. I mean, Sullivan and Trotz are both really good coaches, but – I mean, the goaltending and defense has to go to the Islanders. And really, in the Stanley Cup playoffs, all that matters is goaltending and defense. That's it. I mean, the Islanders are just as happy winning a game 1-0 as they are 5-3.
They are. And here's my problem with where this line is. I think the Penguins should be a very, very slight favorite. And when I mean slight favorite, I think it should be like minus 115, to minus 105. Like, I think that it should be very small. I'm stunned here, and I think you're kind of paying a Crosby tax. I'm stunned that they're minus 146. Like, that's a substantial favorite they are over the Islanders for the series price. The weird thing is that then you go and look at game one on Sunday, and yeah, the Penguins are minus 126. The Islanders are plus 108. Like, why are the Penguins such a heavy favorite for the series? There wasn't that much that separated these two teams. There just isn't. There's not a lot there. It's a dead even coin flip series.
I think they put that number on there because they beat them six times.
Yeah,
out of eight.
Yeah, and they know that people are going to bet on Crosby. I think that goes to it too. People are going to bet the Penguins because they love betting Sidney Crosby. A lot of people only bet hockey in the playoffs. They have no idea about a lot of these teams, and they say, Crosby, Penguins, we're going to bet them. I think that kind of factors into
it. Well, I mean, the Islanders' game plan is going to be simple. Defense and shut down Crosby.
That's it. The Islanders win this series if they do what they did 2 years ago. If Pulak and Pelech don't allow Crosby to score goals and their penalty kill stops the Penguin power play, Islanders are going to win the series. And they frustrated Malkin and Letang last time.
Aren't
you remember those guys?
On,
those
aren't
guys
you
basically
on them?
Quit.
Aren't you on the Islanders in game one?
I think the Islanders can win game one, yes.
Because you think that there's mind games going on with the history? Like that they
no,
just
I don't
always
think it
beat
has
them?
I don't think the history is going to have too much into it. I think there's a major goaltending advantage. I do.
Meanwhile, your team can't score goals.
That's I know, but you're 100% right. They can't score goals, and that's what worries me about the series. I think it's a good thing that they have a goaltending advantage. I think it's a bad thing that they can't score goals. I just
but
think
you
that
think
that's,
they're going
to
bounce. You think they're going to get lucky bounces that are going to squirt past Jari?
Yes, I do.
Because they're going to start Jari, right?
Yeah, they're starting Jari, even though DeSmith was better against the Islanders.
Well, if he doesn't do well, they'll go to DeSmith. This guy Sullivan's not going to mess around. It's Ferrell on a bench. So I have to tell you, I think the Islanders win the series based on they never lose to the Penguins in the playoffs. I mean, it's just that simple. So I'd rather play Satan than the Islanders. I would rather play Satan in a 7-game series and lose than lose to the Islanders. Cause every time they play the Islanders, they lose. I mean, I don't remember. I can't remember the last time they beat them.
They've only beaten them once in the playoffs.
Ever.
And that
Ever.
Was in, that was in 13, the year that, they beat him in six. That was the year. Remember that Fleury got racked in the first couple games at the Coliseum and Thomas Vokoun had to come in and save the day for them. And they ended up beating, that was Tavares's first playoff appearance with the Islanders. They weren't ready at all. They lost in six to the Penguins. That's the only time the Penguins ever beat him in the playoffs.
And they must have lost to him at least 7 or 8 times.
Well, yeah, you've got obviously 70, 79 or whatever it is. 79, 82.
93.
And then 2 years ago in 19.
So it's more than that, though.
I saw 1-4. I saw this is the sixth time they're playing the playoffs. The Islanders have beaten them 4 out of 5 times or 3 out of 4 times, whatever it is.
So this is the sixth time, so it's got to be 4-1.
Yeah, 4-1.
I don't trust them against the Islanders. They just all every time I turn around, they lose to them. So like, I'm scared to death just to even play them game one. I'm scared to bet on them game one. Like I laid it down at Penguins, and I thought to myself, man, I should probably check that tomorrow before I put that in. I don't feel good about it at all, but it's the same thing I'll always say to you. I sleep good at night with those 5 Stanley Cups laying next to my onions. I mean, I really do sleep well with my 5 Stanley Cups.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.